The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell.
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so busted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
You know, I know my guest well enough to know that he would tell you, if you listen to that intro, he's not the famous money manager. So I'll tell you he's the one that you should know about because he's very articulate when it comes to stocks. I love the guys who have a system that they like, who have an approach that they use, and who articulate it well. Well, if you've never heard Martin LeClaire when he's been on the show in the past, you're in for a treat. And if you have heard him, then you know what we're talking about. He is the chief investment officer and a portfolio manager for Barrick Yard Advisors. It's at Barrick Yard on Twitter, barrickyard.com, if you want to go on the web and learn more about the firm and Marty. Martin LeClaire, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. It's great to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show because, like I said, you explain it really clearly. But I'm gonna start by letting you explain it. Your system, what it is that you look for, what it is that makes you say, here's my buys and there's my sells.
Well, thanks, Chuck. Well, first of all, we consider our mandate to be that we help people preserve and compound their wealth in real terms over time. The way that we do that is that we use the public markets. We're not constrained by geography, market capitalizations, or credit ratings. So we're global money managers. And the thing that we do is, first of all, we stand back and we study long-term trends to identify areas of greatest future human need. And what we've come up with in the last few years is really two enduring themes. One is that we now live in an aspiring world where everyone is yearning for better food, clothing, education, luxuries, travel, and we need the infrastructure to support that yearning for a better world. Secondly, there's a universal need for security. And we define security both in the public and private domain. So examples would be to have a secure cyberspace, energy supply, safe water, a clean ecology, and then on a personal level, more things like an assured retirement income and places to keep money where it won't be expropriated. So we kind of put this all together, and we're very mindful of what we consider to be the big picture risks out there. The three things we've been harping on for several years now, one is that the central bankers of the world, something like 38 of them, have created an unprecedented amount of liquidity to avoid the depression that otherwise would have ensued. Secondly, we live in a zero interest rate world, and that has lots of implications. And then the third thing is that the developed world is still carrying excessive debt levels, and that implies that we probably will continue to have lower than trend line economic growth rates for years to come. And the way that we invest our money is to embrace opportunity while being mindful of the risks through what we call three broad categories of companies. Compounders, mm-hmm. Those are companies that have historically been able to compound their earnings per share and the dividends at a very acceptable rate over time. Toll takers, and these are businesses that have an asset that other entities will pay to use. And toll takers, an example of a toll taker might be your local, like in Pennsylvania here, we have Pennsylvania Turnpike and New Jersey Turnpike. That's an asset that people will pay to use. The problem with turnpikes and most electric utilities is that they consume more capital than they spit out. So we want toll takers that generate cash flow, not ones that need to consume cash flow to keep the businesses going. And then the third broad category of company we invest in are called rarities. And these are either physical or intellectual assets that are truly rare. An example might be a champagne company in France or a biotech agriculture company, a seed manufacturer. And we mitigate risk by being faithful to our enduring principles. We have five of them articulated on the website, five enduring principles. Also, our investment philosophy, which is contrarian. And then third thing is our robust investment process. Just to kind of cut to the chase, because I don't want to take up all the whole time, our investment process really is very much tied into the enduring principles. The first one being the price you pay for any asset is the most important determinant of future rate of return. And then our fifth enduring principle, and you can go to the website to check out the other ones, is that dividends matter. 40% or more of the return from stocks over the very long term come from compounding dividends. So we want to see the cash flow. Okay. Now, in terms of the investment process, you know, we rely on extensive fundamental research, regulatory filings, publications, our established network. We screen for profitability, financial strength, valuation, and also growth, because a good valuation without growth can be a value trap. So that's kind of, I hope that gives you a feeling for, a brief feeling for our approach.
Well, it does, and it really helps understanding the whole compounders, toll takers, and rarities idea. I've got a question that I hope I can get a quick answer to, which is, because you can go anywhere you want, what part of the world looks attractive to you right now?
Well, the place that really looks attractive is Singapore. The reason? Valuations, number one. If you look at the long-term metrics, and long-term metrics don't really help you in the short run, but things like the Shiller PE, which your listeners have probably heard of, and the Tobin Q ratio, which measures replacement value of assets to current market price. And the third thing is stock market valuations relative to the GDP, you know, market cap relative to GDP. If you look at those three broad metrics, the American stock market is predicting a long-term return from current levels of like 2 or 3%. In Singapore, it's double digit. And because Singapore has been battered down because the Asian markets have not done well. But we like Singapore because of the valuations. They have a lot of really, really fine blue chip global companies. It's a gateway to Asian growth. And finally, the reason why we like Singapore so much is that they have the rule of law. They respect property rights and they have Anglo-Saxon law, which is something that we very much embrace.
Well, and it sounds like if I had to guess what you don't like, it's anything tied to Ukraine right now, because you have all of the issues going on there and the problems with Russia.
Well, Ukraine has those issues. Plus, you don't know really what you own. Property rights in the Ukraine are dodgy at best.
Okay, let's name a couple of names here. I mean, maybe we can break it out and try to get at least a compounder or a toll taker. As what would be a stock that currently is on your list that meets that criteria?
Well, a toll taker, and your listeners should not be turned off the fact that there's no U.S., you know, simple symbol for these stocks, but it's easy to buy stocks in Singapore. And the first one I'm going to mention is called Hutchison Port Holdings Trust. That's a toll taker. It's a port. It's a trust in Singapore, HPHTF. They own the port of Hong Kong and the port of Shenzhen, which is across the Pearl River Delta. Long story short, the book value is about 96 cents a share. Stocks trading in the 70s, pays a dividend that works out to be about 7%, and we think that dividend over the long term should grow. The stock, we think, is cheap because global trade has not been robust.
Okay, and how about an example of a compounder?
So a compounder would be Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola. These are great companies with very high return on equity. The thing that compounders have that are is that they have high barriers to entry to their businesses. In the case of Coca-Cola, their real secret sauce is in their distribution network. You can go anywhere in the world and you can find a Coke. So that distribution means that there's a high barrier to entry. They're historically have a very high return on invested capital, which we think is very important. Another way we look at it is that in the case of Coke, it's like 18-19%. So Coca-Cola takes a dollar of their shareholders' earnings and they reinvest in the company and they get that kind of a return. So that is very, very attractive.
And my audience knows, because they've heard me disclose it before, Coca-Cola is my largest single holding among stocks. Warren Buffett and I pretty much go back to about the same time, same kind of
I own Coke, by the way, in interest of full disclosure. I also own Pepsi and Hutchison Port Holdings Trust.
All right. So now we've made the disclosures. Now we're going to find out how you feel about some things that my audience is interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
We're playing Hold It or Fold It with Martin LeClaire. He is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. If you want more information, on Twitter at Barrick Yard and BarrickYard.com for the website. Hold It or Fold It's where we put our guests to your test. You know what you have to do if you want to be involved yourself. Send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com. All right, we're going to start with a request we got from Daniel in Reading, Pennsylvania, Vimpelcom. That's ticker symbol VIP.
Well, Vimpelcom is an interesting company. I've actually followed the stock for about 18 years or so, but I've never owned it. The negative is that they've been experiencing declining profit margins. Their long-term debt has increased significantly. They're operating at a loss. And the dividend is probably a value trap because they're paying out a dividend, but they're not really earning that dividend. And by the way, the big investment banks, a lot of them have buy ratings on the stock. So my opinion is definitely contrarian. But I would stay clear of Vimpel. And apart from all those things that I mentioned, the thing I don't like about Vimpel is that it's a Russian company, essentially. And Russia does not have the rule of law. You just don't, it's run by gangsters, and I just don't invest with gangsters.
We'll sum it up this way.
Put that one on the psycho list.
That was a sell on Vimpelcom, ticker symbol VIP. Next, from Josh in Petaluma, California, it's Target Corporation, TGT.
Boy, Target's a tough one because I want to like Target, and I actually own Target and sold it fairly recently. I thought that the scandal around the data breach was just a bunch of noise. And I think it really is kind of noise. But the problem with Target is the internet and Amazon. And the thing that I fear is that in order for them to fix the business so that it's up and humming again, because they're going to require a lot of capital expenditures to get the business to where they want it to be. I don't think it's a month process. I think it's something that could take many years. I'm very fearful that housewives in America, or not to be sexist, you know, people buying their household goods, that they will continue to use Amazon more and more. And in the retailing space, I think there are more attractive opportunities, maybe like Gap stores, which is a free cash flow machine.
That was a sell on Target, TGT.
Oh, it just gets worse and worse.
And again, in the disclosure realm, it was also sort of a buy there on Gap stores. And yes, that's also in my portfolio. So it's good news for me today, Marty.
Well, I own it too, so we'll see. Well, maybe, who knows, just because it's my opinion.
Well, Josh had another request, this one for Seaboard Corp, SEB.
Seaboard's interesting because, I mean, there's so many things to like about Seaboard. They're a big agribusiness company. They're huge in pork. They also own half of Butterball Turkey. But they have some ocean assets. They own some terminals in the port of Miami and some other places. The only negative about Seaboard, as far as I can tell, is that it doesn't pay much of a dividend. I mean, it's very spotty. But over the long term, if you believe in the agricultural theme as I do, then I see it as being a good holding. I don't personally own it. I think if it fell to the low 20s, I might. But even at this level, you know, if you're hot to trot for agriculture, I can't think of very many agricultural companies that are as attractively priced in the market right now.
I'm in this for the long haul.
That was a buy on Seaboard Corporation. Last two requests come from Gordon in Downey, California. The first one, Keppel Corp. That's K-P-E-L-Y.
Well, Keppel is And by the way, getting back to Seaboard, by the way, their tangible book value is like $21, $2,200 a share, which is so it's only trading at a slight premium to its tangible book. Keppel we love. We personally own Keppel. It's a Singapore company. The Sovereign Wealth Fund of Singapore owns a big slug of it. It's a big blue chip. They're in three primary businesses. One is they're the world leader in offshore rig platforms. So Petrobras, the big Brazilian oil company, is doing major work in the Atlantic Ocean offshore. Keppel is one of the few companies in the world that can actually do the work. So those are long-life contracts. Secondly, they make cogeneration plants. They convert garbage into electricity and all kinds of cool things like that. And then thirdly, they have a real estate business in Asia. The stock's trading at 10 times earnings, pays a dividend north of 4%. We see it as a core holding.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's a buy on Keppel Corp, K-P-E-L-Y. Last, also from Gordon, Granite City Food and Brewery, GCFB.
Just say no. The company hasn't made money for years. Every metric you use is going south. 10 years ago, the book value per share was like almost $8 a share. It's now negative 22 cents. There's nothing here that I could put my hand on to say, you know, this is pure speculation, has no investment merit whatsoever.
So, what we say about that one?
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye to Granite City Food and Brewery, ticker symbol GCFB. That's a sell. And we're also saying our goodbyes, sadly, to Marty LeClaire. Martin LeClaire is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Barrick Yard Advisors. It's barrickyard.com if you want to check him out on the web. If you want to follow him on Twitter, they're at Barrick Yard. Marty, this is always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me on MoneyLife.
Thank you, Chuck. My pleasure.
Hey, we've just got a little bit more to go on the June 3rd edition of the show, but stick around. We'll cross the finish line together, set you up for a little bit more of what's coming, and go over a couple things that Marty LeClaire was just talking about in regards to how they apply to other guests, too. This is Money Life. Stick with us.